Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Frank Onstein. We're going to talk about abalone diving in the North Coast because that's a really popular thing for a lot of people to do. But first of all, let's talk about what is an abalone. What is an abalone, Frank?
Abalone is a large mollusk, one big shell, not two shells. They live on kelp.
And they're here locally. Where at locally do you find abalone?
Well, they're indigenous to the whole coast, but not all the areas are very good for diving. The visibility up here isn't great. So I go to Mendocino. Mendocino Headlands is my favorite place.
I think a lot of people go there. I mean, people I've talked to go abalone diving. That's the place that they go. How many abalone can you keep when you go out diving?
You're limited to 3 a day. The year-long total is 18 abalone in a year.
Oh, okay.
So you have to have a piece of paper called an abalone report card. You have to write on that the date, the time, where your location, where you got it, and then you tear off a little tag and you put it on the abalone. And you have to do this immediately upon exiting the water. You can't take the abalone up to the parking lot and do it there. It's very important that you follow the rules because they're strictly enforced.
Okay. And what is the size limit? I mean, there's a minimum size that those abalone have to be for you to be able to keep them.
7 inches, and you're required to have a caliper with you while you're diving to measure the abalone with.
And they clamp on pretty hard to rocks. Do you measure them before you take them off the rock?
If you touch them, they're going to really clamp down. So the best thing is just to maybe hold the caliper up to them and eyeball it and make sure that they're, you know, a legal-sized abalone, because they can be injured when you pry them off the rock, and you don't want that.
Right, because, yeah, you wouldn't be able to keep them because they would be undersized.
No, and they might expire, and then that's too bad, a waste of an abalone.
Yeah. And now what do you use to pry them off the rock?
Well, you can use a steel tool that's blunt and rounded on the end, so it won't cut into the flesh.
When you go diving down in Fort Bragg, what's the visibility like down there?
In the early spring and in the fall, you can get days when you're on the surface in 30 feet of water and you can clearly see the abalone below you on the reef. It's just amazingly beautiful. On other days, you can barely see your hand in front of your face, you know, so big variance in visibility depending on the weather.
And is there a season? Are these a seasonal animal that you can take during certain seasons but not others?
Yes, the season runs from April 1st to the end of November, with the month of July being blocked off.
Is that a red tide issue?
No, the abalone is, because they're kelp feeders, red tide isn't a problem. There's not something like it's going to be poisonous like they're having the problem with the crab fishery.
Okay. And you use snorkeling equipment to go out there. You can't use scuba equipment when you go diving.
That's correct. I grew up in Southern California, and in those days, when I first started, you were allowed to use scuba gear. But what happened was that people ate up all the abalone, and they almost wiped them out. Now they're starting to come back. But up here in Northern California, that's always been snorkeling only, or you can wade out, actually. They call it rock picking, and feel for the abalone on the rock and pry them off, but no scuba gear.
So if you're rock picking, those abalone are at a depth that you don't even have to really put your head under the water.
That's correct.
Okay. When you go out, because you actually do dive for your abalone, do you wear a full wetsuit? How cold is it out there?
It's really cold. In the 40s, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you need a whole wetsuit with a hood and everything.
Oh, okay, a hood and all the equipment. And then you have your snorkel so that you can kind of get a breath up on the surface when you need to.
Right. There's a whole technique to free diving where you learn how to fill your lungs, starting at the bottom of your lungs, and you fill the chest part, and then you with your shoulders fill the top of your lungs.
How long can you stay down there, Frank?
You know, I've never really timed myself, but we're going like 30 feet is common hunting depth. So.
Oh, that's a long way down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wear special fins, really long fins that help you get up fast. Learning how to dive for abalone, the best way is to go with someone who's experienced. And the way to run into a person like that is to attend the meeting of the Humboldt Skin Divers Club. They meet the second Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock at Chan's Restaurant in Arcata on Samoa Boulevard. So just come down and introduce yourself and meet other divers that you can partner up with.
when you go down, I mean, I imagine that it really helps to stay calm, to conserve your oxygen as you go down.
It does. The marine environment is so alien that it gets some people, it makes their heart rate go way up. And even though they're fit and good condition, they just can't stay down long. But the key thing is just do it more often. And you get used to it and it feels like home, you know, and then you're fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the thing that might make my heart rate go up is the thought of there being large animals in there that might want to eat me.
That can be a concern, and that, of course, has happened, but it's very rare that that divers call it meeting the landlord.
I have heard that term before.
It's very seldom.
Yeah. But I think it just kind of like, you know, if you're kind of thinking about that before you start heading down, that it could make your heart rate go up and you might go through the oxygen quicker.
Yes, definitely.
I think I would be more inclined to succumb to seasickness. And that is something that happens to people.
Yeah, because you're on the surface a lot and you're rocking back and forth in the surge, and that can be an issue.
And do you have a flotation device of some sort that sits on the surface that you come back to when you're in between going up and going down?
Yes. The most common type is a sort of a fabric-covered tire inner tube. When it's got a zipper on the top so you can stow your gear and the abalone you catch in it and then hang on to it and rest when you're on the surface.
And when you go out, what sorts of things do you check on about the weather and tides and that sort of thing? What do you check before you even head down to Mendocino?
Well, I use a thing called CDIP, which is on the internet. It's Coastal Data Information Program, which gives you a color-coded look at the wave conditions. Then if it looks good, I call the Weather Bureau and double-check with them.
Are tides a concern?
Tides, it's easier if the tide's low, yeah, sure. But I don't really follow that too much. If the tides are higher, you just swim down further.
Okay. And what about weather? I mean, like, you're getting wet anyway, so you're probably not that worried about if it's raining.
No, the rain isn't a concern, but the height of the swell is a big deal.
You
don't want to. Well, a lot of people get in trouble where they drive from, say, somewhere far away, and they've set this all up, and it's rough on the, but this is the only chance I have, so they go anyway. And,
right.
And those are the ones you read about in the paper the next day.
Yeah, that they drowned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were, I think, 8 fatalities this year in Northern California.
And now the weight belt, what role does that play in kind of, you know, helping to keep you down and also to protect you?
Oh, very important role, because the wetsuit's probably going to be about 25 pounds buoyant, and good luck getting under the surface if you don't have a weight belt. The weight belt is supposed to neutralize your weight at your diving depth. So around 20 feet, if that's normally where you're operating, you'll be not wanting to go up or down.
Oh, okay.
And all weight belts come with a quick release. So if you get in trouble, the first thing you do is just drop it.
Drop the weight belt and then you just shoot to the top.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I was also reading a little bit about if you are going to be diving, that sometimes it helps that you are down a little bit, that you're on the surface, you really can get exhausted from fighting the swells and the waves and that sort of thing.
Right. It's calmer when you're down. And if you're in deeper water, it's less surgy still. So it can be really thrashing you around if you're trying to dive in 12 feet, but you go out a little deeper, so you get into 25, 30 feet of water, and that's nice. And also better visibility.
Now, abalones, you were saying, like, you touch them, they can adhere to the rock, but they're not going to, like, take off or anything. They're not moving, a fast-moving creature, I don't imagine, right?
No, they do move around, but they're not.
They don't have to worry about them getting away.
No.
Now, when you bring them home, or you actually bring them to shore and you put your tag on them because you want to make sure you're okay with fish and game or fish and wildlife, then what do you do to them? Because I've heard about things about people pounding them with a stick and stuff like that, things that make them tender to eat. Is that kind of a fallacy or is that true?
That's true. That you have to get them out of the shell when you clean them. And they need to be pounded, or they're going to be really tough.
Do you have to pound them right away or can you wait to pound them?
Oh, you can wait. You can put them in the fridge and do it in a day or two. You know, they'll be fine.
Okay.
And then pound them or just freeze them whole and do it when you're ready to have them for dinner.
And if you are ready to have them for dinner, what's your favorite way to fix them?
Well, I like to fry them using a olive oil that's infused with garlic. I think that makes a really tasty treat.
Mm.
And if you have time, you can throw in some sun-dried tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Go quite
it goes well with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
And some wine.
And some wine. Yeah. Of course, because you're a winemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Frank Onstein about abalone diving on the North Coast. Thank you so much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, a
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.